But I'm going to be reading this morning from the Gospel according to Matthew, chapter 2, verses 1 through 12. We've been hearing parts of that story already, and I just invite you to listen for any words or phrases that stand out for you, either giving you assurance and comfort or even maybe cause to pause and think. Let us listen for the word of God. In the time of King Herod, after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, wise men from the east came to Jerusalem, asking, "Where is the child who has been born king of the Jews? For we observed his star at its rising and have come to pay him homage." When King Herod heard this, he was frightened, and all Jerusalem with him. And calling together all the chief priests and scribes of the people, he inquired of them where the Messiah was to be born. They told him, "In Bethlehem of Judea, for so it has been written by the prophet, 'And you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah, for from you shall come a ruler who is to shepherd my people Israel.'" Then Herod secretly called for the wise men and learned from them the exact time when the star had appeared. Then he sent them to Bethlehem, saying, "Go and search diligently for the child, and when you have found him, bring me word so that I may also go and pay him homage." When they had heard the king, they set out, and there ahead of them went the star that they had seen at its rising, until it stopped over the place where the child was. When they saw that the star had stopped, they were overwhelmed with joy. On entering the house, they saw the child with Mary, his mother, and they knelt down and paid him homage. Then opening their treasure chests, they offered him gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And having been warned in a dream not to return to Herod, they left for their own country by another road. May God bless our hearing and our receiving of this Holy Scripture. So it's fairly familiar, well, very familiar story. But were there any words that stood out for you this time in listening? Sharon? They brought him gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. Yeah. Yeah, Ken. What's that? Well, it would have made him wealthy with that gold for sure. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Ruby? Mm-hmm. King Herod and all of Jerusalem were afraid when they heard about Jesus as the king of the Jews. Yeah, Sue.
So Herod said, "Bring him to me," but the wise men, after they paid homage, they went on another way.
Herod said, "Bring him to me," or "bring news to me," but the wise men were wise and went home by another way, after hearing from God. Now let us let the words of my mouth, the meditations of all of our hearts, be acceptable to you, O God, our rock and our redeemer. They left for their own country by another road. A couple purchased an old home in northern New York State from two elderly sisters. Winter was fast approaching, and they were concerned about the house's lack of insulation. "If they could live here all those years, so can we," the husband confidently declared. One November night, the temperature plunged to below zero, and they woke up to find interior walls covered with frost. The husband called the sisters to ask how they had kept the house warm. After a brief conversation, he hung up. "For the past 30 years," he muttered, "they've gone to Florida for the winter." I suspect that that home will be soon seeing some changes. But how about your home? Are you expecting any changes soon? Shannon's not here, but I'll talk about her a little. She might hope for a change or two. She keeps a list of house projects that I'm a bit behind on. Cleaning the darn baseboards and shampooing the carpet again. Shannon has been waiting for some changes to happen around our house, and I want to work on that in this new year. That's my resolution, to change the way I come home. Our scripture this morning is Matthew's version. Well, it's the right after the Christmas story, and that's what I want to focus on. What happens after the birth? What happens when it's time to go home? Now, there are a number of characters in our story that might use a little introduction. First, there were the three wise men, or magi. We assume three, because there were three gifts, but we really don't know how many. Our tradition tells us that they were men of science, astronomers, highly educated, wealthy, highly respected, in their Gentile culture. The Magi were not Jewish. They were seekers after the truth, visionaries and spiritual. Then there was Herod. Herod the Great reigned from 37 BC to 4 BC. He was not a Jew. He was an Idumean who was appointed by the Roman Senate. He was ruthless, murdering his wife, three sons, mother-in-law, brother-in-law, uncle, and many others. No wonder he had no problem killing so many babies in Bethlehem. His reign was noted for splendor. He constructed many theaters, monuments, pagan altars, and fortresses. But his greatest work was the rebuilding of the temple in Jerusalem. Herod was a power-hungry, self-absorbed, and ruthless king. So how many of you were already aware of just what a scoundrel King Herod was? Quite a few of us. A piece of work, as I called him. The chief priests and teachers of the Jewish law were trained and educated in the details of Scripture, but were spiritually ignorant. They knew the right answers, but did not possess the right heart. They were not seekers after the truth. Of course, then there was Jesus, the promised King of the Jews, and his parents, who were a long way from home themselves, soon to be an even longer way from home, thanks to Herod's soldiers. Each of these characters in our story has their own perspective on home. We don't know too much about the Magi, but you can bet that they were missing their homes after traveling for weeks and perhaps months or even years, following that star to Bethlehem and the newborn king, who is probably near 2 years old by then. We'll get back to that in a minute. Back to King Herod. He had made himself a home in Jerusalem, but not a cozy home. Though he did make it beautiful, rebuilding the temple and constructing many beautiful buildings to surround himself with luxury. But Herod's home was built on political intrigue. He was appointed king through siding with the enemy, Rome, through playing politics, and, as we heard, through murdering many of his own family. Herod's home would not last long after he was gone. The Romans eventually destroyed the entire city, temple and all. And that often happens after a ruthless king like Herod. The chief priests and teachers of the law were right at home in Jerusalem and right at home with Herod as king, because he earned their support by protecting the status quo. By supporting Herod's rule, they were allowed to control the religious institutions, the power to decide who was acceptable to God and who was not. There was great power in controlling religion. The chief priests and teachers of the law were right at home with things staying just the way they were. Mary and Joseph had a baby, nearing 2 years old, we believe, who had never been home, who had been born in a stable, far from home, perhaps a portent of the future. Jesus later would say, "Foxes have holes and birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head." Certainly, Mary and Joseph wanted to take Jesus home, but they would not return home the way they came. And when they did return from Egypt, their home would be forever changed. Well, back to those magi, however many there were. Do you ever wonder what happened to them when they went back home? I think they've done some movies like on that subject. Did they live happily ever after? Were their lives changed? After bowing before the King of Kings, offering costly gifts to God's Son, they returned home by another way. To avoid another king's so-called hospitality. After all of that didn't make a difference back home on a mundane Monday morning, taking out the garbage, changing the diapers, balancing the checkbook, paying the bills, attending meetings, figuring out taxes, getting their teeth filled, or planning birthday parties, and all the 1,001 things it takes to live. Well, does it make a difference to you? You've been to the manger. You've bowed to the newborn king, God's own son. You've sung the carols, feasted, worshiped, gave the gifts, focused on the true meaning of Christmas. But how was it going home on December 26th, going back to life, going back to the routines around the house? How was it coming to your home church this morning? What difference has Christmas made in your home life? Quite honestly, most of us go back to the same routines. Some start a new health routine for a few weeks. Some will make resolutions to change their lives in one way or another. You know how well we do with resolutions, don't you? But I can't help but think that those magi did go home another way. Sure, we know they went home by another route, but they had fulfilled a longing, a lifelong search, a journey to see the King of Kings. I can't help but think those magi, however many there were, went home changed. When they got home, nothing would ever be the same. If you have found the true meaning of Christmas, then you have found another way home. You too have been changed. You too have fulfilled a longing, a lifelong search, a journey to meet the King of Kings. But this baby Jesus did not stay a baby. He became the way and the truth and the life. Jesus has shown us the way of living in relationship with God and with each other that changes everything. How can we go back home the same way? How can we go back to living as we were before? How can we go back to being church as we were before? Jesus was serious about coming into our hearts at Christmas in a new and life-changing way. And now we've begun a new year. There's a lot of unknowns before us as we look to 2026 and beyond. What will become of our nation, our cities, our world, our own lives? One thing is sure, we're not going to be able to live as we have been in our world. Our world won't sustain the reckless way we have treated the earth, the economy, our society, each other, the poor, the outcasts of our community and of our world. But we don't have to return to the old ways. God is calling us to go back home, but not the same way. Home by another way, Jesus' way. As a church, I think God is calling us to continue wrestling with our purpose and mission, to be a church that is deeply rooted in God's word and the love of Jesus. Reaching up, reaching in, reaching out, offering radical hospitality, unconditional welcome and acceptance. Since we announced our identity and our mission, God's vision for First Christian Church, some have asked how that has changed us. How has our home here at First Christian Church changed since we experienced that new birth, the call and vision of God? How are we going home? The same old way? I believe it's going to be a very exciting new year as we follow in Jesus' way. Come along. Let's go home another way. Let's go home Jesus' way. Will you pray with me? Blessed God, we are grateful for this good morning. So much to celebrate, but the greatest celebration is your son Jesus. We symbolized his love in giving his own life, dying, being buried, resurrecting to new life as we celebrated baptism this morning. We celebrate each Sunday Jesus' love that he symbolized in the Lord's Supper, which we will do soon. We celebrate the grace that you rain down on each of us, the blessings that are all around us, the beauty of relationships, of your good creation, of the worship times that we have together as a church family. We continue to trust in you, praying for your guidance and your blessings for each step of this road that we're following. Following Jesus as best we can, knowing that we're forgiven, accepted as we take this each step, but always being led forward by your love. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.